Go ahead and remain standing if you would. Grab your Bibles. Look with me to the book of Luke. Brother Buddy left you in between there. So Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're going to be reading verse 36 down to verse 50 tonight. What a tremendous blessing the children were to us tonight. And boy, you just look up here and you can start picking out parents. And God uses mom and dad to develop the bodies of these kids and their minds possibly as well. Who knows? But some of them are undeniable if you know the membership of the church here. But that's the next generation of church members. They're the ones that are going to continue this Lighthouse Baptist Church and accomplishing everything God would have this church to accomplish, at least until the rapture of the church. And so Luke chapter 7, on Sunday nights we've been going through and teaching on the teachings of Christ in chronological order, and we're in the second year of Jesus's second year of his public ministry, and this is the next lesson. So Luke chapter 7 verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet and behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you and we thank you, Lord God, again for just your presence in this place and the blessings that the children brought to us. And Lord, just knowing how that these truths will impact their lives as well. And so I pray tonight, God, that you would just continue to meet with us. And I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is the only account in the Gospels of this particular event. Now, there's other similar events of Jesus's even having his feet anointed, but this is the only one in the second year of his public ministry, and it's only recorded in the book of Luke. And here we find that he gives us a comparison of the thinking of a religious Pharisee and that of a repentant sinner. Something that God has recorded for us so we might understand right thinking. And we might reject wrong thinking. The setting here for this particular event in the life of Christ in verse 36 and verse 37. Verse 36, a curious and yet self-righteous man invites Jesus to come to eat with him. He had heard, no doubt, the same thing that this woman had heard. This is supposed to be the Messiah. The very least, this might be a prophet. And so he brought him out of curiosity to possibly see what he could drill him with and find out what kind of answers he might have, to see how he could possibly find fault in what he would be teaching. And so he invited him to come to eat. Jesus accepted his invitation. Now, between the two, as we read this, you would think that that would be the one that would be doubtful whether or not Jesus would accept his invitation. But can I tell you that he accepted his invitation because he knew exactly what was taking place in this man's heart, how he was raised to believe in religion of the Pharisees, how that he was falling right in line with that religion and everything he was thinking and everything he was doing. And yet we find that Jesus accepted the invitation because he loved him. And he wanted this religious Pharisee to believe in him so he could give him everlasting life. And then we find in verse 37, we find the introduction of this sinner woman. She was known by this Pharisee, although she would not have ever been invited to his house publicly. And this woman, when she hears that Jesus is in the area, she wants to come to Jesus. Jesus would have known all about this woman. He would also realize how she was raised, possibly what would have led her into the lifestyle that she was living, why she would have the thinking that she had. And yet we find that Jesus also loved her. And he wanted her to come to him so he could give her everlasting life. So we find that Jesus loved both. And now we know that for God so loved the world. When he came, he didn't come for just a special few. Jesus came to give all humanity an opportunity. No matter what they had been taught, no matter what they had done in their lives, no matter what mistakes, no matter what sin, but he would give all humanity an opportunity to repent if they had sin, which we all do, to confess, and then to put their faith and trust in him. Whether someone caught up in false religion, whether somebody that really truly believes that they're better than other people and deserve heaven, or whether it be someone that didn't have anything. He would love all. Scriptures reveal what was going on inside of, first of all, this woman. Verse 37, the Bible says, "And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house." The first thing is, when she knew. Someone had witnessed to her. Wouldn't have been this Pharisee. But somebody had told her that this man that was at this Pharisee's house claimed to be the Messiah. Might have been one of the disciples of Jesus. Could have been one of the disciples of John the Baptist. It was somebody who wanted this woman to realize that there was a chance for her to be forgiven of her own sin, and Jesus was here in her midst. Now, over in the book of John in chapter 1, this is what she might have heard as John chapter 1 and verse 29, the Bible says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. She possibly heard that this is someone who could take away her sins, give her everlasting life. That's what you do when you witness to somebody. You want to present to them who Jesus is and what he can do for that individual in giving them a new life, making them a new creature. The very same John chapter 1, we find this is what would have been possibly a witness. And again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. There might have been somebody present that said, look, that's the one, that's the Lamb of God. And he's here in our midst. That's what's going on inside this woman at the time. She had heard somebody say, Jesus is here. The Lamb of God is here. And then we find what she did. She realized that she was a sinner. She had her opportunity to come to Christ. The Bible says that once she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and had wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Wow. She brought the most expensive thing that she possessed to honor him, showing that she truly believed this was the Messiah. The witness that came to her about him, her spirit bearing witness with God's spirit, the Holy Spirit that brought conviction into her life, she accepted that. She believed that. When we present Jesus Christ to somebody, that's all we can do. We cannot be the Holy Spirit. We cannot force them to believe in that. We cannot force them to make the right decisions. That individual will be accountable for the opportunities that God has given to them and for what they hear. And when she heard that, then the Holy Spirit of God brought conviction on her, and she had the desire to look to him and to honor him. So she went to the Pharisee's house, which would have been prohibited outside of Jesus being there. But she didn't care about the Pharisee. She was going to Christ. Yeah. When she first arrived, she began to weep. She began to weep because she knew who she was and how she had been living, and yet she's in the presence of God. I've had people, when they come to church, and just weep because they can sense the presence of God. Praise the Lord for that. She looks to Jesus as God. She did not look to him as a man. She looked to him as the Messiah who would be her Savior. To know that he came for her. Wow. I mean, she was weeping, revealing what was going on inside of her. She did not deserve God to send his only begotten Son to come for her sake. And yet she sees him as her Savior. The Bible records back in Luke, and let me just read this to you. Luke in chapter 5 and verse 8, when Peter finally looked to Jesus, and now there is not a shadow of doubt in his mind after a miracle that this is the Messiah, the Bible says that Peter said this in chapter 5 and verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he saw this miracle and he realized beyond the shadow of a doubt who Jesus was. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." You come into the presence of Christ, we see ourselves as sinful men. This woman seen herself as a sinful woman in the midst of her Savior. She wanted to give her very best and to honor him for who he was. On the other hand, we find here the scriptures reveal what was going on inside the Pharisee, the religious man. But he was not saved. He was religiously lost. He was putting a faith and trust in the religion of man, not in the truth of the Bible, not in the truths of Christ. In verse 39, go back there with me in our Luke in chapter 7, because then we find here the scriptures reveal what was going on inside this Pharisee. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. He did not speak this outwardly and publicly, but God knew what was going on. Jesus knew what was going on in his heart. And this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. He revealed his doubt, his pride, and his arrogance. That's what he was doing. Thinking himself to be of being too good to publicly associate with this sinner. And then wrongly implying that Jesus would think this way. Sometimes because we think a certain way, we think that God approves it. We think that God might think a certain way. If you're thinking a way that's anything opposite the Bible, it is never going to be a way of the mind of God. Jesus, knowing this, presents a parable and then a question to get this man to see his own sin, which was possibly greater than the sin of this woman, and who he thought Jesus was and what kind of thinking he would have thought of him. He says, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, both are in the same position, had nothing to pay, but one had so much more debt than the other. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? And the key is loving him. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Yeah. Presented this parable. There in verse 44 down to verse 46, then after this and trying to get him to think clearly, Jesus condemns the lack of actions of this Pharisee and he commends the actions of this sinner. And he says here in verse 44, he says, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon. Now he's using her as an example of what Simon needed to be like in the midst of God, in his presence. And he said, and turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman whom you think you're too good to be around? And you think if I knew that she was a sinner that I would have nothing to do with her. This woman, I entered into thine house and thou gavest me no water for my feet. It was customary to, when you hosted somebody, when they came into the house, to be able to put some water out there for to wash their feet. That is just showing some kind of respect for your guests. You didn't even show me the respect of putting out water that I might wash my feet or have a servant wash my feet. You didn't even think of it. Because your mind was on you. So selfish in your thinking. So arrogant. So filled with pride. But she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Because she is looking to me as a Messiah. As the one who can forgive her of her sins. And she does not deserve it. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't even greet me. That's basically what they would do in greeting one another. It was with a holy kiss, if you will. But you didn't even greet me because you wasn't thinking about who I was. You wasn't thinking about me being the Messiah. You did not think yourself under anyone. Your pride? My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. I wonder, is that how we think toward our Savior? A contrast of two different ways of thinking about who Jesus is. Religion takes you away from Christ. It does not bring you to Christ. The Spirit of God will lead us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and not see ourselves as worthy of anything, let alone for God to send His only begotten Son to pay a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay on the cross of Calvary. How are we thinking toward Jesus Christ in the day and age we're living in today? Are we more on the side of the religious Pharisee, or we are identifying more with the sinner? Ultimately, what Jesus was revealing is found here in the Bible. It says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, all of a bunch of Pharisees, who is this that now forgiveth sins also? He didn't even address them. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Anyone can repent and be forgiven, but not everyone will. For God loves the world. There's not anyone on the face of the earth tonight that could not repent once they see Jesus for who He is. But you have to repent. And once you repent, you can be saved. And once you have repented and you have been saved, then you can live the rest of your life with the peace of God, the joy that God gives to us in our lives, knowing that I have been forgiven of my sins undeservingly been forgiven of my sins. And not only do I have his presence with me in this life, I have been given the gift of everlasting, eternal life. Thinking of man, it will determine whether you'll receive or you'll reject what God has to offer. I trust tonight we'll look to Jesus for being the Messiah that he is, the Savior that he is. If he's not your Savior, you'll make him your Savior tonight. If you're not living with the mindset that we need to have toward our Savior, that you will change that. There's sin in our lives that we'll repent of that sin and we'll receive what God has for us. What a blessing. What a blessing to know. For God so loved the world. And that includes every one of us. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. This passage of scripture and this event that Jesus has recorded for us so that we might learn. If you're not careful, you go the way of the Pharisee. Think ourselves better than someone else. Present pride and arrogance. Self-righteousness. I trust we see ourselves like this sinful sinner woman did. For she left with the greatest blessings of all. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for this event in the life of Christ, the teachings that you present to us and helping us to see that you love us. You have given us opportunity. We all will have opportunities, but it's up to our free will and the decisions we make. And I trust, God, if there's decisions that you would have us to make tonight, that we would make that one that you want us to make. Whether it be for salvation, baptism, rededication, or just a dedication to the life of Christ. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.